Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we have dedicated 12 shows to discussing the 12 signs of the zodiac as a map leading to spiritual understanding. Each week focuses on the respective sign as an archetype used in the process of an individual becoming divine. Listen this week as we explain the function of Scorpio, because desire is what drives the law of attraction and like attracts like. These shows will explore why divine law cannot function in your experience if you are not conscious of its presence. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and desire nothing. So Swami, the title of today's program is 12 Signs of Spiritual Truth, Part 8, which we already said in the opening is Scorpio. Can you first tell our listeners, maybe for the first time they could be listening in, about what these shows are all about?
Yeah, we're trying to use the zodiac as a map, the 12 different signs, to give us an archetype for the changeless state of being, as opposed to the typical use of astrology, which is the constant movement of the celestial planets and bodies. So we're really focusing on the 12 signs of the zodiac, which are the fixed stars and what they represent as far as a backdrop for human consciousness, to give us some clues and understanding for the presence of divine mind.
And I had mentioned earlier that this week's topic is about Scorpio. What can you tell us about Scorpio?
Yeah, Scorpio is fixed water, and it is the third fixed sign that we are coming across now, because we have seen Taurus and Leo prior to this, and it is the second water sign because Cancer was the first water sign. The key phrase for Scorpio is I desire, and desire seems to be the engine and the driving force behind this world, as opposed to my kingdom. And one of the things that we'll probably go into is a lot of the symbolism that is found in the image of Scorpio and the sign of Scorpio to help us understand this principle of desire.
I think that's a great idea. So why don't we get started with doing just that?
Yeah, I think one of the common symbols is the image of the dragon, which is used in mythology and also in Revelations in the Bible. The dragon is an imaginary image, something that does not exist in reality and must be overcome. So this thing of constantly slaying the dragon is really to slay that which is not real, but seems to have a tremendous amount of power.
I can see how that can relate to what we've been talking about the last 6 weeks, and that is, we are trying to overcome our mortal mind and the thoughts and our perceptions of what we see around us.
Right. And I think for a lot of us, that's going to be a little bit of a stretch to start to realize that the appearance of our five senses, what seems to be real and tangible in our reality, is really the unreal. And the only thing that is real is that which is invisible and intangible. And so it's 180 degrees from, especially I want to say, our scientific approach to life, and even say, for example, the Western medical model, which is constantly looking for tangible clues for the cause of their sicknesses and diseases. Whereas in this model, we're really trying to forsake human thinking completely and starting to live out from the causal spiritual body, starting to live out from divine knowing, which is the invisible intangible. As we get into Scorpio here, and the key phrase being, I desire, which, as we said in the opening, kind of drives this law of attraction. And the law of attraction is like attracts like. So whatever it is that we sow to, if we have a belief that we are this mortal creature, that we are a body that has a mind and perchance a soul, then we are sowing to the flesh. And so we have a desire for that which is visible and tangible. And it is that desire that will keep us entrapped in this particular level of consciousness. It becomes almost impossible to get out of it from that understanding of ourselves. But as we start to move from a desire for that which is visible and tangible into a desire for that which is invisible but tangible, the whole realm of waves or thoughts, that we're going to find that we're still on a very slippery slope, that we still have a belief in two powers, and we're under this law of karma, which is what we're putting out is what we're getting back. That for every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. But if we desire what is invisible and intangible, if we sow to the spirit, that will lift us out of this limited understanding of ourselves, move us into the belief in one power, into and under the law of divine law, which is absolute life, absolute love, eternal happiness. It is what the Bible calls the truth. And when we know this truth, it sets us free from this law of karma.
I'd like to talk to you more about the I desire and the law of attraction. Now, I have seen things on YouTube, and there are, you know, videos out there that can help us bring things into our lives, material things into our lives. So I think what we want to try to do is change that desire to these material things, to have a process to be able to bring the infinite into our lives.
Yeah, it's very different. And as you start to understand how these different dimensions or levels of reality interact, because the things that are visible and tangible, which would come under the heading of form or matter, basically, if we are attracted to them, then we are going to be under this law of karma. And then one of the biggest misconceptions is that we think moving into the realms of mind is the equivalent of being spiritual. And in truth, it's not, because you can get by with material and mental means by positive thinking and creative visualization and using affirmations and all of that type of stuff. You can change finite bad to finite good. You can change a belief in lack into a belief in abundance, but you are still going to be under this law of karma, that you will eventually expire. But if you want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then you can't get off on the mental plane. You have to go further into what is called spirit. And spirit is the invisible, intangible presence. It's absolute stillness, absolute silence. And so when you desire that, that is what will lift you out of the belief in two powers, out of the law of karma.
Now, I've heard you say several times before that the change needs to go deep enough. So it's not just about changing finite bad to finite good. We need to actually have that change go deeper.
Yeah, we need to accept spiritual identity. We need to know the truth of our being, that we are eternal spiritual beings. And you can't be a finite mortal creature and an eternal spiritual being. This wisdom is found in the Bible, where it says that we must put off the old man. And even the term repent, we must think differently. And that's something that we've been really kind of drilling down with in these shows, is we're talking about the three different modes of mortal thought that we have to come out of. And one of the biggest ones would be needs, that the simple fact that we identify with a physical body, we have the appearance of needs. Because if we don't get what we think we need, this appearance will expire. It's all of that fear that comes out from preservation and survival that drives that. But it keeps us attached to the belief in what Mary Baker Eddy called matter. And the Bible calls that sowing to the flesh. But if we can separate our identity and assume spiritual identity, that you are an eternal spiritual being, a great question is, well, when did that begin? Because it didn't begin with the birth of this mortal body. It always was, and it will always will be. And as we start to assume the identity that gives us that sense of immortality, then there is no longer any fear. And it's not just senseless optimism. It's really knowing the truth of your being. And the other thing is that as we start to move from material to mental to spiritual identity, and we finally get under the law of the divine, we now find that we are under the protection of the divine. Your whole external picture changes. But it's not until you, and I like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Miscellaneous Writings, felt ye the power of the word? Once spirit reveals itself to you, and you are now under the protection of this divine law, then there is absolutely no fear. And that's something you can't get with material or mental means.
And I think that's because we're constantly bombarded with the what ifs and, you know, commercials on TV that continually, like I said, bombard us with these fears of what could happen to us if we don't do this or if we don't get that. We have to have some kind of a power to realize that and get over that and not fall for those traps.
Right. Most of us are really being manipulated with these infantile defense mechanisms, basically. Because we're not growing psychologically and spiritually, we are basically surviving. We're chronologically aging and psychologically, spiritually remaining in this underdeveloped state. That was the role of religions. It was the community that people went to where they learned how to get out of this limited sense of who they were and experience the freedom that comes with divine identity.
And I think that's a big part of it, is we are motivated by fear. I think that is the biggest motivating factors of how we live our daily lives.
Absolutely. And as we start to see that all of that fear, in truth, isn't even real.
Well, I think we're going to stop right here and pause to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners will be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, we left off and we were talking about fear. So how can we overcome fear in this model?
Well, again, what we were starting to say was we do it by changing our identity, by moving our sense of self from being bound up in a mortal form, even the consciousness of a mortal form, and identifying with ourselves as an eternal spiritual being. What that basically means is that we're moving from the changing conditions of our personal mentality into the changeless state of being. The more that we start to assume that identity and we start to experience the benefits that come with that, we start to experience the protection that comes with being under divine law, then we become more comfortable with it.
We had talked in the last shows about Alice Bailey's Labor of Hercules. Can you talk to us about what she says about Scorpio?
Yeah, in her book, the labor that is associated with Scorpio is destroying the Lernaean Hydra, which was the nine-headed snake. And the Hydra is divided into three triunes. And she breaks it down into appetites, sex, comfort, and money, passion, fear, hatred, and desire for power. And the third is vices, pride, separativeness, and cruelty.
And we were talking about overcoming fear, and we want to do that without power. So we need to not have this desire for power.
Yeah, that's an important thing that we start to understand is we're all looking for God power to overcome this concept of evil. In reality, it doesn't work like that because the concept of God, this concealed deity, is all. That God is all, and God is absolute goodness. And so as we start to abide in that revelation, we realize that there are no opposing forces, that there is just one divine life experiencing itself and doing it with absolute harmony, the perfection of being.
Now, the three triunes, is that something that we should learn something from? Like, can we take those and apply them to our desires?
Well, I think oftentimes it is helpful sometimes to understand and organize your information, but to really get a sense for the underlying dynamic of desire. Because on a very fundamental level, we are all codependent. But what we are dependent upon will determine our level of consciousness. And that's what we have been trying to discuss in this show particularly, is how to change what it is that we are attracted to. And in the framework of doing that, it will change your level of consciousness. It will change your sense of who you are.
So tell us, how does Hercules overcome the Hydra?
Yeah, in this particular task, Hercules finds that if he cuts one head off of this nine-headed snake, it grows back two. So he realizes that he can't do this with his normal meeting power with power. And so what he figured out was if he lifted the snake off of the earth, that the snake got all of its power from the earth. And by lifting the snake off of the earth, he rendered it powerless. And I think there's a real lesson for us to learn in that particular task, because we experience a similar dynamic when we try to give up what it is that we desire, when we're trying to give up what I call our unnecessary dependencies. And typically, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're trying to give up sugar, the minute you stop eating it, all of a sudden, that's all you want is sugar. If you're trying to give up alcohol or cigarettes or anything, gambling, the minute you try and give it up, you find that it empowers it and it becomes that much harder. We finally figured out was the easiest way to get out from underneath any unnecessary dependency was to substitute. But in the framework of this substitution, you really want to substitute your necessary dependencies for your unnecessary dependencies. And if you have put an unnecessary dependency above a necessary dependency, it will create a failure force in your identity. And that's why one of our common themes in most of what we talk about is to put God first. That your identity, your connection to this one divine life is the only thing that we need. And once we can do that, because even if you went to your life-sustaining force number two, which was air, and the way that we determine the importance of a life-sustaining force is how long can I live without it? We can live weeks without food. We can live days without water. We can live minutes without air, but without the grace of God, without our connection to spirit, we expire immediately. By focusing on the presence of this, and again, for a lack of a better word, this power, the life force, isn't really a power as we think we know power from our five sense mind. But in the framework of spiritual sense, the presence of spirit really is no power.
If someone's at that point in their life and they want to try to give up smoking, for example, now we know that smoking has chemicals and there actually is a physical withdrawal involved in trying to quit something like smoking. So how would you recommend that they substitute in that particular instance? I realize it's probably individual, but what would be your first thoughts?
The way that I typically approach it is we have to, as the Bible says, think differently. So we have to start to change how we think, because in the dynamic of using something visible and tangible to validate yourself, to say that I'm okay, you immediately engage this failure force. But if you can know the truth, and if you can employ it and internalize it, then you know that what you really need is the presence of spirit. But again, spirit is invisible and it's intangible, and as we're muddling through these different levels of consciousness, and especially if identity is really at the level of form, then it seems like a Herculean task, because the minute you cut one head off, it grows back two. So our physical body and that consciousness is like a monkey. You're at an animal level of consciousness, and a monkey won't let go of one branch unless it has another one in the other hand. So my recommendation to people is, don't try and give up anything, but try and get this other branch in your other hand. Start changing how you're thinking. Thinking right is knowing the difference between what you need and what you want. And by internalizing what you really do need, by making spirit your symbol for validation, and you have to be very clear about this, what spirit is, this invisible, intangible presence. And if you can get that in your other hand and you can start leaning on it, then you will start to be able to create the separation from the unnecessary dependencies, and you will start to develop a dependency upon what you really do need.
Great explanation. Thank you. So let's talk now about the constellations of Scorpio.
Yeah, again, Alice Bailey uses, number one is serpens, the serpent of illusion. Number two is Ophicus, the man who wrestles with the serpent. And the third one is Hercules, the disciple facing the eagle.
And then what are some of the lessons we can learn from those three?
Yeah, serpents, the serpent of illusion. Again, the serpent is kind of like a small version of the dragon. It is, again, an imaginary image, the false power that we give to things visible and tangible, to matter. And Ophicus, the man who wrestles with the serpent. There, I think you have the image of the man, which is the human, who is wrestling with this illusion, this belief in two powers, which is basically being hypnotized and under the law of karma. And then Hercules is the hero, the disciple facing the eagle. And the eagle actually is a symbol that was used for Scorpio in the original zodiac, because it was the phoenix, which was an eagle-like bird, out of its own ashes would regenerate itself. And so this is the whole thing of awakening into our true identity and moving out from this false sense of who we are.
And then as we do that, that's how we reject what we're talking about, rejecting the flesh and sowing to the spirit?
Yeah, and giving up the belief that we have in the five senses. And that's what we had said in the beginning. That's a tough order for most of us, to give up the testimony of our five senses and saying, this isn't real, and to be able to rely on what is invisible and intangible with scientific certainty until you start to demonstrate this divine law.
Now, when you're talking about scientific certainty, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, if you're not demonstrating divine law with a certain degree of authority, then chances are that you're still lost in the illusion and you are under the control of the law of karma, and you're not under or walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth.
So I think it's about that time that we end our program for today. So listeners, please visit our websites, www.ipdtransform.com. And again, three-quarters of the way down that homepage, you'll see that section entitled Swami Says Recent Posts, and you'll see Blog Talk Radio shows there listed that you can just click on for your learning experiences. Now, don't forget, Swami also does a free webinar Wednesdays at noon. You can access that through the online classes. So, Swami, any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to try and create this primary relationship with their divinity and overcome the illusion of their five senses. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.